The following talk was given by Julian Harvey on the 13th of August 2023 and is entitled, Pardon Me, I Have a Weight Problem.
Why did I choose Pardon Me, I Have a Weight Problem? Obviously, you know, as truth students, we all know that change is a constant. It's always happening. Got up this morning, did what I needed to do to get ready to go, packed everything up. And then some things changed and I had to deal with some other things, and that was okay. I just went through the flow with that. But a couple of things are going on in my world that made me come up with the idea, or come up with looking at how do I wait for something to happen. So, as people know, I've got two sides to my life at the moment. I actually have three sides, but I have two sides to my life at the moment that are happening. One is I finally finished, along with my co-student, Roz Goldsborough, who's online with us this morning. Lovely to see you, Roz. But both Roz and I finished all the functionality and the things that we had to get done in the International Ministerial Program, and that we have completed that part of it. You can't call me His Royal Highness, Your Reverendship, Julian, just yet. I'll let you know when that's going to happen. But we're done. We've finished the last of it, and we've both now got to send off a bunch of paperwork. We've got to get a bunch of people to write a couple of reports for us, and there's some stuff that we have to do there. But realistically, Roz and I are both at that stage now where we have to wait. There's several things that have to happen. We've had some assessments done that we're waiting for the results of to be sent through to Unity Worldwide Ministries. We have, at some stage, I believe in October, Roz and I will both have to individually, not together, unfortunately. I wish we could do them together because it'd be more fun. But we individually have to have several meetings with the licensing and ordination team. So we've got to go through that. So technically speaking, both Roz and I are now in the hurry up and wait phase. Would that be right, Roz? You can stick your thumb up. Everybody will see that. We are very much in that hurry up and wait stage. The other sort of major thing that's happening is that my job has gone on in an interesting direction at work. I was working on a project, and I've been working on the project for over a year, building a training package for our middle management team. So team leaders, for those of you that don't know, the Australian Public Service has gradings or levels of business, and APS 6, so Australian Public Service level 6, are usually team leaders. And in the NDIA, that group has really basically been left to its own devices to learn its own stuff. And we were developing these forums to give them some really good basic management skills, as well as HR skills, as well as practical examples of how to deal with the day-to-day stuff that they would deal with in relation to the staff that they're managing. And it was a really good program. Everybody loved it. The problem was that it was too good. And we have a new board, we have a new CEO, we have new management, and they've come in and said, well, why are we just doing this for national delivery? Why aren't we doing it for the whole of all the APS 6s in the agency across the board? So now we're revisiting all of that. But in the middle of that, the NDIA is moving over to a whole new, brand new computer system, which is going to make our jobs a lot easier. It's going to make the way we work with our participants a lot easier. And it's a vastly better system overall. And so while our program's been put on pause, we're working on this other program, which is literally just delivering training. So all I'm doing is twice a day, 5 days a week, I'm delivering an hour-long training on the same subject. So it's kind of interesting, from that perspective, to stay excited and interested, you know, when you're 14 sessions into the same information. It's a bit of a challenge in that regard. But in that process, technically speaking, even though I'm doing stuff, we're waiting for the original decision about the original program. And as late as Friday afternoon at about 4:30, I heard that there is going to be a high-level meeting with our learning and development team. And in fact, myself and my co-worker Kelly may actually move over and work underneath that banner. So that may then move the whole thing forward. But anyway, that's by the by. But we've been in this wait program, or waiting for this program and information and decisions to be made since the end of July. Middle of July. So I've been waiting for that. The other one, the other minor thing is that my son is moving to Canada. but he's not going till the 4th of October. And I'm kind of stuck in this wait period of what is my life going to look like once he goes. So I've got all this sort of stuff going on. And during the week when I was thinking about what is it, you know, because when I do these talks, and hopefully people get, you know, an understanding or benefit or, you know, hear something from these, but all I can talk about is what's alive for me each time I give a talk. And at the moment, the alive for me is I'm very much in many respects in a waiting process. In the wait is, and it's like I said, it's in all these three areas. So I thought, okay, well, let's have a look at what do I mean by waiting? Because the other side of the coin is that we talk about divine mind, we talk about divine ideas, we also talk about divine timing. So we talk about understanding that things will happen in the order that they're supposed to happen in based on divine ideas, not necessarily on our ideas. So often that means that we have to, when we're in that process of manifesting changes in our lives, we have to kind of understand that there is a period of time where we're waiting. So when I looked at that, I thought, okay, well, let's find out what's in the Bible about waiting, which is really interesting, because the first thing that popped up was Psalm 69, verses 2 and 3. Take a stiff drink with this one, guys. And this is from the New Revised Standard Version. Verse 2 states, "I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps me over." Hang in there, guys. Verse 3 goes, "I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." So that wasn't very pleasant. You know, what's going on? Do we struggle when we're going through that waiting process? How often do you struggle? How often do you feel like you're stuck in the mire when you're waiting for something to manifest, when you're waiting for something to come forward? So then I thought, well, you know, why when we're trying to manifest something, why do we wait? Why do we have to wait? What is the waiting about? And I know I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I was led very, very directly led to Genesis, which for those of you that may not know, with Unity, we teach the creation process. So the seven steps of creation that we teach at Unity is based on the Genesis story in the first part of the Bible. So really quickly, because I'm not gonna read Genesis, so you can all relax. But day one, God develops light and dark, which is day and night. Oh, sorry, step backwards. How many of you were aware that on truthunity.net there is the Fillmore Study Bible available? Thumbs up online if you know about the Fillmore Study Bible. Boy, is it good value to go and look at. Now, Fillmore hasn't done all of them. It's predominantly the Christian texts, but he has done some stuff on Genesis. So if you're interested in understanding what Mr. Fillmore thought of and how he went through his metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, the study Bible on truthunity.net is a good value one. So light and dark, day and night, day one. So we got light and dark, day and night. So Mr. Fillmore says that it's the dawning of light in a person's mind. So it's the awakening of man to spiritual consciousness. It's the dawning of that light. And it's his perception of truth through that quickening of spirit. Day two, God apparently developed the sky and the waters. So Mr. Fillmore states that the second step in creation is the development of faith or the firmament, and the waters represent the unestablished elements of the mind. So that's outside, it's kind of outside us, and it's where we've got loose ideas about what's going on. Day three, he developed the land and seas, and he created vegetation and trees. And this is the third creation, is the beginning of the formative activity of the mind called imagination. So this is where we feed the imagination and we come up with, you know, we may not have formulated a specific idea, but we come up with that process of looking at things in a broader spectrum and coming up with the imagination of it. Day four was the sun and the moon. Of course, the fourth step in creation is the development of the two great lights, and that is the will and understanding, or the sun, which is the spiritual I am, and the moon, which is the intellect. On the fifth day, he created fish and birds, and the fifth step in the creation is the bringing forth of the sensations and discrimination. The creatures are thoughts, the birds in the open firmament of the heavens are ideas approaching spiritual understanding. Okay. And then on day six, he created the animals, he created humans, and he gave us the operating instructions. So the sixth step in creation is bringing forth of ideas after their kind. So that's where we create more ideas about the ideas that we got from the fish and the birds. So it's where we get these creative ideas. It's where we start to infuse that creative level of thought in the process of understanding the manifestation process of what it is that we're looking at manifesting. The other thing that happens there is that it's moving us closer to getting into the consciousness of divine mind, divine ideas, the infinite field of potential and possibility. And it's where we start to get that realization that we have that image and likeness of that in, through, and as us. So it's where that connection stuff really happens. And day six in the creation, or the sixth step in the creation process, is really getting it that we are that this is the consciousness in man of the Christ consciousness. So it's when we get really into that point and stage of understanding that we have that Christ consciousness within us, and then we can manifest and produce whatever we want to do. But then we come to day seven. And day seven is where, and there's some interesting stuff in this, in the Oxford Annotated Bible. It talks about the fact that there are sections of day seven, or the creation, the seventh stage, that may not have been in the original text at this point, but have been taken from other parts of other texts from the Hebrew Bible. Okay. Specifically, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. They're not completely convinced that that was the original text. So I'm going to read. So day seven, according to the New Revised Standard Version. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work and all that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. So again, it's about resting on the fact that I've done the work. Okay, so part of that manifestation process, if you're trying to create something new or you're trying to create something of value, then it's about resting in the knowledge that you've done all you can to meet the needs of what needs to be done. In the Metaphysical Study Bible that Mr. Fillmore wrote, he highlights various sections of that. And so he highlighted the words specifically were finished. So the heavens and earth were finished. And he states, the point in active creativity, where the involution is now ready to evolve. So that from within is ready to come forth. Okay. He goes on to say, where all that is involved into this principle called creativity, remember he calls it, it's a principle of creativity, is finished. So then what happens is, what happens is as I get to that point stage where I go, it is done, the creativity part of it's done, and this is where, pardon me, but I've got a weight problem. Because I don't know what to do next. I don't know, you know, and this is where the struggle comes in about being a human doing and not a human being. And so it's understanding that we have to work through the process of being prepared to wait. Does that make sense? Or am I raving like a lunatic? So, again, going back to a biblical context, which is very strange for me. I'm sure there's people online going, Julian, talking about the Bible, what's going on here? But in 2 Peter verse 3, from 14 to, will I go to 18? Yeah, I'll go to 18, although it's got a bit, yeah, anyway. In 2 Peter verses, chapter 13, verses 14, therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish. Now, the way I looked at that was is that understanding the Christ consciousness within is doing the work. That's where I have to rest. I have to rest on the fact that the Christ consciousness within is doing the work. And therefore, when I have those thoughts of doubt, those thoughts of negativity, those thoughts of hurry up, those thoughts of my way, not the Christ way, those are the spots and blemishes that I need to work on. That's the area where I need to focus. I don't need to focus on, will it get done? Could it get done? I don't need to focus on that because, as we said, thus the heavens and earth were finished. It's done. But it's getting to that understanding of where my blemishes are that I need to work on. Verse 15 says, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. And from that I gleaned that what that means is that the way of saving myself from all of that understanding is about understanding that divine mind, divine ideas is already working. It's a bit like, for me, it's a bit like you can't drive a car without A, turning it on. Then the engine does its job, but then the gearbox does its job. Then the differential does its job. Then the wheels do its job and it moves forward or backward, depending on what gear you're in. So it's the same thing. The Christ consciousness is doing the work that it needs to do, and I can't change or fix that. So I have to rescue myself from those thoughts. In verse 16, and this is sort of, for me, this was really interesting. So in verse 16, there are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do to other scriptures. So what I'm saying, what it's saying there is that we have twists and turns. If we don't follow the process and we don't follow the look at those things, we will get all caught up in the twists and turns of listening to what I perceive to be negative states of mind, negative consciousness, negative thoughts, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. And the key for this one is verse 17, where it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless, and lose your own stability." And for me, that's very much about we need to look at our consciousness when we're manifesting, when we're in that period where we are waiting for something to happen and we're in that wait process, we need to be concentrating on looking at ways to work through those processes, if that makes sense. So then I moved over to Paul Hasselbeck. And Paul Hasselbeck, in his Heart-Centered Metaphysics, again, I went through, it was an interesting process, actually, because I didn't really know what I wanted, but I knew there was something in Heart-Centered Metaphysics that I needed to look at. And so I literally flicked through the book in front of me, and where it stuck, I looked at what was written there. And it came up with... Yeah, so for those of you that are students and you've got the book, whatever, read through this a bit more detail. But 19D on page 186, we develop this capacity to recognize and discern, and it's on intuition. Sorry, it's on intuition. It's understanding how we actually intuit. So it's not on what is intuition. It's how do we do it? What do we need to do? And Paul states, we develop this capacity to recognize and discern divine guidance by investing time in the silence. So again, we're coming back to return to the Christ consciousness within, and we do that through the process of getting into the divine silence. It then, in one other section that I was reading, but I haven't written it out here because it was about something completely different, but I moved to 20A, which is on dominion. And it's on page 89. Now, just as a sort of a reminder to people, when we mention in unity, when we mention thoughts, we also mean feelings. Okay? Thoughts and feelings go together. You cannot, under any circumstances, really separate them. You can shut feelings down, or you can shut thoughts down, but they work together and they work as a combination. So when we say the word thoughts in all the Unity writings, when Mr. Fillmore was talking about thoughts, when Mrs. Fillmore was talking about thoughts, they're talking about thoughts and feelings. They were very much in that vein. And as you know, so in 20A under dominion on page 189, he says, the dominion given you as your divine right is over your own thoughts only, which is a really interesting way to put it, because that is literally the only thing we can control. It is the only thing that we have dominion over our thoughts. So what do we do? How do we deal with that process of, pardon me, I have a weight problem? Because who has weight problems? Who struggles at time when you want something to manifest? Who struggles with that? Can I have a show of hands? Yeah, look at them all going up. Mine too, you know. So as a sort of a guide and some things for you to try, I try to do these when I'm in that weight program, but, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'll suddenly find myself going, boy, that was a bunch of thoughts I didn't really want. You know, there's two types of, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but there's two types of thoughts we have. There are those ones that we pay attention to and those that just fly by. I've read in various reports, and people can probably correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I've read various reports that we average between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day in our waking moments. And that doesn't include the ones we have at night. So we do have a lot, you know, we do a lot of thinking. Now, a lot of those stuff just flies by. I'm sure while I've been talking to you, many of you have had a whole bunch of thoughts flying by. So I don't have a problem with that. But one of the things that you could try and do to help you slow some of those automatic thoughts that happen, and also psychology has taught us that for every thought that you pay attention to directly, you will produce somewhere between 15 and 20 additional thoughts along those lines. There's various thoughts about that, but it's about 10 to 15, 15 to 20 thoughts on those ones that you actually focus on. But what I'm suggesting is that we talk about a little bit at Unity, but I've done a lot of study on this, and I find it really useful. But mindfulness, using mindfulness, so getting back to the present moment. Many of you know I come from, years ago I was involved with recovery with AA, and AA has a funny sort of statement about being present in the present moment. They say if you've got one foot in the future and one foot in the past, you're probably peeing on today. It's a bit rude, sorry, folks. But it's true. If you're not in the present moment, what are you doing? If you're projecting into the future, or you're staying stuck in the past, you know, if you're revisiting old stuff, or you're trying to go what if, that can send you sometimes. So practicing mindfulness. Now, there are many, many different practices with mindfulness, by all means, have a look at it if you haven't looked at mindfulness before. There's one where you just focus on the breathing. There's one that you focus on doing. And often we teach when we go into meditations, we teach going through a body scan. So doing a body scan, feeling every part of your body, feeling, you know, where you've got pressure points, feeling where you've got issues going on. One of the mindfulness ones that I really love doing, because I like driving. I actually like driving. Even in traffic, I don't mind driving sometimes. But no, I don't mind driving. But when I'm driving, and recently, as you know, I went away for the weekend to Warwick, and it was great because I was driving and I'm being present with the trees that were going past, the cows in the field, the fences. I was really observing what was going on, but I was also observing, you know, the speed I was doing, the people in the car, you know, and I was really in that drive, and I can do this with driving. I get really into the present moment of that process, which is probably a good thing in heavy duty traffic, but when it's an enjoyable process, it's really good. For those of you that may or may not have seen my post on Facebook, but yesterday I did my very first park run. So on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., they do this thing called park run. But what I found really interesting was that I felt some stuff going on in my body, trust me. But I also loved the fact that I was out walking, because I didn't run. I'm not mad. I'm just, you know, I didn't run. I walked fast and got my heart rate up, which is what I need to do. But I was also noticing the trees. I was noticing where we were walking in Wishart. There's a lovely creek with birds, and there were, you know, the water flowing and stuff. And I got into that present moment. To me, that's part of being mindful. I really stopped thinking per se, or stopped acknowledging the thinking as I was walking, because I was so present with that process. So have a look at mindfulness. Think about, you know, using that strategy possibly moving forward when you get into that, when you're in that period of time where you're waiting for something to happen. Obviously, meditation is another great way of doing it. We teach meditation. And for those of you that are going to come to New Zealand and be with us in New Zealand in November, we're going to be teaching you some different types of meditation. We're going to go through, I think it's 7 types of meditation, I think it is, that we're going to go through. I've got to talk to Roz about this yet, but we're going to do that. Gratitude. Gratitude's a great one for getting you out of yourself and out of waiting. Be grateful for the fact that you get this time to relax and to wait for and get excited about what's about to arrive, and just get into that gratitude state. And then, of course, affirmations. Affirmations help me all the time. I use them all the time, especially when I'm waiting for something to happen, because I find that it just calms me. It gets me back into, as I said, understanding that the Christ consciousness within me is doing the work. I can relax and let go. And so I look at it from that perspective. Many, many years ago, and it was, you know, Laurie and Lorraine were, you know, one of the people who sort of really got Unity Reflections of Truth underway from a practical point of view. And Lorraine gave me one of the best affirmations I've ever had, and I use it regularly over and over and over again. The affirmation is, infinite wisdom guides me, divine love prospers me, and I am successful in everything I undertake. And if what I'm trying to undertake is waiting, then I'm successful in that. If it's something that I want to manifest, I'm successful in that, because infinite wisdom guides me, divine love prospers me, and I am successful in everything I undertake.